You've read through the syllabus, the entire syllabus for the umpteenth time, and slaved away at making as many notes as possible, replete with lists and acronyms. But then the test comes, and you go blank. You can't recall anything and don't have a cooking clue what to do. Today, Talin Hanekom is going to share with us the importance of understanding instead of memorizing for your studies, so that you don't have any more of those blank moments. She is a CFA level 1 holder and ranked number 5 in the Psyca ITC, the initial test of competence for 2024. We also chat about why a good game does not equal a good player, the underrated power of simple literacy, the superpower of sleep for your studies, what made her a top student, the growth of gratitude, the 5 levels of thinking, navigating heartbreak on the road through writing, and more. I hope that you enjoy. Guys, my travelers on the road, I hope you're well. This is actually going to be probably the quickest one yet. I know you're traveling, so I'll be very quick this time. End of year, that end of year fatigue is here. I want you to shrink your measuring stick. I want you to look at the next 5 minutes, not at the next hour. Just do something for 5 minutes at a time. Just read through the thing for 5 minutes. Start the question just for 5 minutes. Do it in a small chunk. Decrease the scale of your inputs, and that's it for today. I hope that you enjoy the episode. Don't forget to check out part 1 if you haven't already. It'll be linked in the show notes. On to part 2.
You're an AT, you're an academic trainee. What have you seen to be so far in the journey the common struggles of students in financial management? I'm just curious.
They try to memorize everything instead of understanding it.
That's a huge onion.
And understanding is difficult. It's the more difficult road to take initially,
yes,
to actually go and work through everything. But it has the most fruits at the end. Mm. Because once you understand it, it goes a lot easier. Going forward, it will be a lot easier because you don't have to go and memorize and recall things.
Yeah.
Most students tell me, no, I hit a blank. Then I'm like, yeah, because you memorized it, you didn't understand it.
Mm.
You can't hit a blank on understanding. You hit a blank on memory.
Mm.
So I think that is a downfall for most students. But in the same sense, it's also difficult.
Yeah.
Not everyone will understand, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And then it is amazing that you at least try and memorize.
Mm.
I'll give you a high five for that.
Mm.
But in a perfect world, I'd say understanding.
That's such a huge, and I'm so happy that you mentioned this, because I think it extends beyond accounting. I think it extends beyond even the course. That the reason why you understand as opposed to memorize is because this thing is vast. It's huge. It's impossible to memorize everything.
Mm.
And I was on a call the other day with another aspiring CA from, he's at MSA. He said this quote from his coach, because he used to play soccer, that a good game does not mean you're a good player.
Mm.
And that means a good test doesn't mean that you're a good student. A bad test as well doesn't mean that you're a bad student.
No.
In this whole journey, we are trying to be tested. And I think that the way that they test in accounting is very good, because they test everything. That's what they're going to do in real life. As a professional, you have to know everything. You have to know what you're going to pick out of your repository of knowledge. And so when you don't understand it, and then they pick that thing that, you know, you may have memorized but forgot, obviously you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't get the qualification if you don't understand enough.
And yeah, and it'll impact your confidence. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you memorize something and now you forgot it because it's 10 years down the line and now you get asked about it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying I remember everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have to do an accounting paper now, I'll probably fail it because I'm not in the motions anymore. It's not so fresh. So I'm not saying you have to understand and thus remember everything for the rest of your life.
Yes, yes.
But being able to think on your feet, that is what differentiates a CA from other bookkeepers, for example, is because we can use the knowledge that we've gathered, put it together, and then solve a problem using it. But if you memorize things and you don't understand what you're memorizing, how are you going to integrate your thinking? How are you going to put A and B together and make a solution from it?
And I think I spoke about this with Udo as well. A huge component of that, which I believe to be insight in some ways, which is what we're gaining through also applying the stuff and being able to see the uncertainty and deal with it. We actually have most of the tools already. So I'm going to explain this. My one IT teacher explained, he said that all we need really is literacy, the basic ability to read and write. And I was like, I thought about it. When you know how to read and write, you know how to acquire knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
When you know how to acquire knowledge, which I'll synonymously use as the dots, you can have many components, many dots in your brain. Now, what we do in applying our knowledge and gaining more and more is eventually we'll start to connect the dots.
Mm.
And what we have become really good at through this process of learning and failing and learning and failing, we've become really good at being able to connect the dots, hopefully if you've been learning why, which you have to. You can't even pass PD dots without learning some type of why. It's too much. You become really good at connecting the dots.
Mm.
And when you can connect the dots, that's when you can become a CA. Mm. Because that's what we can do. It's not really that we can, you know, value a business. It's that we can use the tools that we have to pave the way through uncertainty.
Exactly. And we've worked hard to come where we are.
Mm.
And that changes a person.
Mm.
So even if you are confronted with things later on in your life, I feel like the struggles now prepares you for it. So life won't just be smooth sailing from here, but you have acquired the skills now to be able to face whatever is coming at you after your whole journey. And I always also think or imagine after I've learned something, when I go sleep, it's like my brain cells actually grow and they start connecting like your dots.
Literally.
And that's when you actually cement in your knowledge. Yeah. So please, listeners, sleep. I think that is also a thing that I see with my students. They come there in my office and their eyes are red and they're yawning. And then they studied the whole night. And I'm like, did you really study? Like, can you even remember what you did? You know, those brain cells never got to grow.
Like, we don't leverage sleep. Sleep is, it's now scientifically proven. You can go check the literature, guys. You learn in your sleep.
Mm.
And in fact, if you don't get the sleep, all that studying that day meant
nothing. And the next day studies wouldn't mean anything either. Yeah.
It's crazy. So yesterday, why didn't I sleep? It was Monday yesterday. Okay. I think it was because it was a mixture of I had a lot of stuff and I just didn't plan my day, obviously. There's a lot of that. And I didn't sleep well. Yesterday morning, I felt like a zombie.
Mm.
And I was wondering why at, you know, 11 o'clock, I felt like taking a nap. And I was like, I'm going to go take a nap. And then I was like, no. That is because I didn't sleep last night. Mm. The response in your mind, in my mind, I feel, shouldn't be, let me go take a nap. It should be, let me sleep tonight.
Mm.
Let me actually get the amount of sleep tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give in to the temptation of laziness that day, but you say, I'm going to plan better tomorrow. Mm. I'm going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, and I'm going to change my routine to stick to it in the future, that I don't sit here again.
I don't want to get back there.
Mm.
I love that. Talib, what would you say, or do you think, obviously there wasn't one thing, but what made you a top student? do you think?
I'd say my resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I try to enjoy every moment of the studying.
Mm.
If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't have put in the time I did. So yes, I think the contributing factors was I was determined and I worked hard and I put in the hours. But that would not have been possible if I didn't enjoy what I was doing.
Mm.
So finding the joy first, having that balanced life. And then I'm blessed. It wasn't me that got all the success. There's no way. I didn't do it by myself. And I think having that support structure, being in touch with who I am, made me successful.
Support structure is a huge thing.
Massive.
Oh, and I don't know. I don't know like what the solve is for someone without a support structure. What would you say to them?
I don't think someone can't have a support structure.
Yes, yes.
Because the 80s are here,
mm-hmm.
and the lecturers are here.
Yeah,
so, no, it's not a personal support structure necessarily, and you can't get the same amount of support, but you're not alone.
Mm.
So even though you don't get that support from your close friends or family, we are here.
Mm.
So there's no excuse not to have a support structure.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like nobody can be... Nobody is alone.
Mm.
You will always have a friend, even if it's just one. And just being able to debrief on your day or to get some advice or to get motivation from that person, you must use that and allow yourself to be motivated.
Mm.
So even if it is only one person, you have a support structure. You just maybe don't realize it.
Mm. I think taking stock, huge one.
Making a gratitude list.
Hey. Gratitude list.
Have you ever done that?
I think I did it once last year, the beginning of last year.
Mm.
But through last year, which is the year I failed and I went through a lot, I realized that one of the biggest lessons for me, that was the first moment or realization that gratitude is one of the biggest lessons.
Mm.
Like, if we just think about what we have, you are pursuing the greatest CA qualification in the world.
Mm.
If you think about that, and hopefully through this podcast, see where it can go, you know, the various huge opportunities that you can get, the people you can meet, all these things, take stock of that and you start to realize, whew, maybe I'm wasting a gift the moment that I'm not... seeing the value that I have in my hands.
And that is your own fault. We spoke about taking responsibility early on. Mm. It's your responsibility to go and look for the things that you can be grateful for.
Mm.
Or the things that you actually have in your life.
Mm.
It's your responsibility.
Mm.
Nobody else is going to do it for you.
That's another thing. No one else is going to do it for you. Because like gratitude is such a tough thing because I don't know how a parent can reverse engineer it so that a child learns it.
Mm.
Like, how?
That's why I'm saying make the list. Mm-hmm. Once you start making the list and actually writing it down, even the smallest of things, you will realize how much you actually have.
Mm.
Because we tend to focus on the big negative things,
yeah.
and that overcrowds everything. But if you go look at the small things, and you are grateful for the fact that you were able to open your eyes this morning and take your first breath, that's a blessing. Not everyone has that, so that's something to be grateful for. And once you have that, it's almost like weaponry of things you can be grateful for, then the big things and the big failures and the disappointments, they will become smaller because you're about so much more and life is about so much more than just studying the whole time.
I think I'm going to go back to the idea that we spoke about before we officially started, and I'm going to paint a picture for the audience. I think this thing is in itself enough to get you off your chair, but Let's say that you have a friend and they made a gift for you. They handcrafted it. They spent hours slaving away, finding the ingredients and getting everything together to give you this amazing gift that they thought they had you in mind for.
Mm.
You take the gift and then you throw it away. right in their face, you throw away the gift. Doesn't that feel like a spit in the face of a friend? You were given time. Time is a gift. Every single hour, every single minute, every single second is a gift. It's not a given. And so that's what you do the moments that you procrastinate, the moments that you don't appreciate the assets that you have at hand. I mean, the education that you got. Goodness gracious, just having had a high school education, the ability to read and write.
That's amazing.
Take that for granted. And so every second that we don't honor that gift is like spitting our giver in the face.
For sure. And gifts doesn't necessarily only mean it's positive things. Going through failures and experiencing the disappointments is also a gift. We always say, God doesn't let things happen to you. He lets things happen for you. So everything is not God sent, but it's God used. So failing isn't a bad thing. It will be a bad thing if you don't learn from it and if you don't change yourself to actually go forward from there. But failing can be a blessing too. CA isn't a four-year journey for everyone. And that's okay. Nobody's going to care. Both my brothers are very successful and they've also failed. But nobody cares about that. It is not, it doesn't have an impact on where they are now, but it has an impact on who they are now. Because they actually stood up, they learned from it, and they are better people because of it. So failure is not a bad thing in itself. It is a bad thing if you make it a bad thing.
Sure, I loved that diction. It's not God sent, it's God used. Goodness gracious. Because that implies that it's on you. I love that idea that, no, God didn't put you on this earth to take. He put you on this earth to make. That's what God put you on this earth for. Oh, that was amazing. What do your brothers do? I'm curious as well.
So my eldest brother is the CFO at SA Taxi in their insurance company. Yeah. And my other brother works in the Netherlands for a new company, recently moved jobs. I'm not sure what the company's name is. But
he's in the Netherlands, guys.
He's in the Netherlands. Yeah. So they are my heroes for sure.
Sure. And it's so my brother's also ahead of me. He's at PwC now. He's about to sign off as a CA.
Oh, wow.
And I think I also take for granted oftentimes that those people ahead of us, they are paving the way and showing us what is right, what is not so right. And yeah, man, it's beautiful to always have that example.
Yeah, that role model.
And
to keep you on track.
Keep you on track. Show you what's possible too.
Be a soundboard because they actually do understand.
That is huge, hey? A sounding board. I was actually, I don't know if I've realized this idea enough, but I'll just say it anyway. So there's sort of 5 levels of thinking that I've thought about. There's the first level, which is talking to yourself or talking in your head, where we have these ideas in our head, but we need to process them, so we need to think. Maybe the first level is I say it in my head. You know, I talk to myself. Second level that I found was saying it into a recorder or, you know, saying it into a video, and then you're able to at least see it again, you know, edit it, think about it a little bit more. But then the third is saying it to someone else, saying it to a soundboard.
Sure.
And that's a higher level of thinking that I think we also don't appreciate. If someone else hears the idea, it's subject to some more objective processing. Because if you think, oh, this is a good idea, it might not be a good idea in the market. And so you give it to other people and then they're like, ah.
And you can also actually realize your own bias when you have to say something out loud. Because you will try and frame a story in a way that like makes your perspective look better.
Yes.
But when you actually voice it out, you can realize where your biases lie.
Yes. And so that's why saying it, you're still processing it at the very least. But then when you say it into a recorder, then you hear it back. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, maybe that is biased.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it to another person, immediately they're going to catch it and they're going to say, oh, not this. And then you're going to start thinking a little bit more, oh, okay, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong.
Mm.
Level four is for me where I'm starting to realize is where the gold lies, writing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write something out, immediately you see that your idea was really bad. It's very easy because the writing process, it's not as quick. When it goes from your brain to your mouth, it's quick.
Mm.
But when it goes from your brain to your shoulders, into your arm and onto a pen, which is on a page, and then you see the word, it's like, oh, that's a bad word. I don't think that sentence works together. You've processed it quite a bit.
Mm.
But then the last level for me, writing it for others. That's where you're...
Sure.
That's why when people write a text and it's like bad grammar and, you know, it's not very clear, I see such a lost opportunity for growth. Because every piece of writing, you are sharpening your mind. Even a text, I think. You're sharpening your mind and you're sharpening your ability to think. Because
mm-hmm.
like we were talking about the gratitude journal. Like you have to write it.
Yeah.
It's processing it. It goes here, goes through you. It's like, whoa, I actually have a car. You know?
Yeah. And that's also a list that you can put on a wall mm-hmm. and reread it.
Oh,
so
my.
It's like listening to a recording with your eyes.
Yes.
You can reread it. You can remind yourself of it when the hardship comes.
And there's something about writing also that's quite intimate. I think when you've written it out, when it's a piece of writing, there's something even more intimate than hearing a conversation. Like someone's, I don't know. It just feels close.
No, for sure. Mm. So I spoke earlier about life happening around studies. Mm-hmm. Now, last year was a difficult year for me because I went through a breakup and my family lost our grandmother.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's one, two.
You know, and it was like within a month of each other. Sure. And the way I had to
Which process... Which one was first?
The breakup. Yeah.
at least, so the guy has a heart. I'm sure maybe he wouldn't break up with you if it was first.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been
hard. Yeah, no, that would have been rough. But the way I've also processed all of that in PG Does was to write about it. Because as you said, it's very therapeutic. You can be as honest as you want. You're not going to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
You can reread it. And it's just a different type of processing and healing that comes from writing.
There's a healing. It's so therapeutic. It's process.
Yes.
It is really grinding that thing that's in there. Time management. I had one aspiring CA say, that was the biggest struggle for me. Seeing that you're a top student, there's something you're doing better than some. What are some time management tips?
So, first off.
To be continued in part 3. See you next week.